Brazilian samba taking over the last movement of Scaramouche by Darius Milhaud. We've just heard it performed here at London Swigmore Hall by saxophonist Jess Gillam and her pianist partner Zeynep Osucha, ending their Wigmore Hall lunchtime concert, setting out to demonstrate the versatility of the saxophone with this wide-ranging programme. Job done, I'd say. Well, next Monday, we're welcoming one of the great ensembles in Russian music, the Borodin Quartet, and pianist Barry Douglas for an all-Russian programme. Don't miss that, but for now, I'll hand you back to Broadcasting House.
That was Andrew McGregor, and you can find that concert and many others on BBC Sounds.
If you stare at a single work of art, what do you see?
It's a landscape.
You can see bars of yellow crescent moon.
What does a cosmologist see?
It's quite stunning. I kind of want to touch it.
Or a jazz pianist.
This is really a score.
Or a Hollywood actor.
Can't help but see a little sailboat in the lower left-hand corner, like a sailboat.
Across a remarkable series, New York's Museum of Modern Art opens up to 30 leading creative minds to discover what they see.
Steve Martin, Roxanne Gay.
The Way I See It, with Alastair Souk.
Steve Reich, and many, many more.
Begins this Monday to Friday night at 10:45 on BBC Radio 3.
And now it's time for today's early music show, where there's stormy weather brewing.
Dramatic musical evocation of a tempest performed by Les Concerts des Nations, directed by Jordi Savall. It's from the 1706 opera Alcyon by the French composer Marin Marais. Alcyon, a princess, has gone to the temple of Juno to pray for the safety of her lover at sea and dreams that his ship is caught in a terrible storm. In today's show, we're exploring some of the ways early composers have depicted extreme weather, which is something that's very much in our minds these days with news of melting glaciers, burning forests, hurricanes, floods, tsunamis and so on. Climate crisis indeed. But of course, even before the days of global warming, people needed to be conscious of the changes in the weather, to be in tune with what to expect as the seasons rolled by. Now, you might be thinking that's a cue for a certain quartet of Vivaldi concertos, and we're going to be hearing one of them later on. But right now, here's a slightly less well-known concerto, La Tempesta di Mare, which comes from the same collection as The Four Seasons. It portrays a severe storm at sea, and as you'd expect, Vivaldi gives it the full treatment with wave-like rises and falls in the opening movement, then calm ripples in the second, before the wind kicks up again and we get a good drenching in the final presto. Federico Agostini is the solo violinist in the centre of the storm.
Thank you.
Tempesta di Mare, Vivaldi's E-flat concerto from his collection The Contest Between Harmony and Invention, published in 1725. The soloist there with I Musici was Federico Agostini, demonstrating the sort of virtuoso violin techniques that would make Vivaldi, in his time, as much a cult figure as he is today. And so to England, where commenting on the irregularities of the weather is surely a national pastime. The Exeter-born composer Matthew Locke was at work in Restoration London at the time when some of the best-known plays of Shakespeare were being revived for the first time. Well, adapted and virtually rewritten in some cases. In 1674, the actor-manager Thomas Betterton mounted a recent version of The Tempest by Thomas Shadwell, further adapted by William Davenant and John Dryden. It featured incidental music by several of the leading composers of the time, and Matthew Locke contributed a number of items, including Arise, Arise, Ye Subterranean Winds.
Fogs and storms, whirlwinds and earthquakes there. They let him howl and
Arise, arise, ye subterranean winds, one of Matthew Locke's songs from an adaptation of Shakespeare's The Tempest, given in London in 1674. Judith Nelson with the Academy of Ancient Music, directed by Christopher Hogwood. 16th and 17th century England fairly buzzed with songs like that, made popular in the theatres. And for those lacking the money to get through the playhouse door, there were still lots to be had in the streets and taverns, from songs of drinking and good fellowship to the sentimental or the bawdy. But perhaps it's still a little surprising to hear that Christopher Tye, master of the choir of Ely Cathedral and music teacher of young Edward VI, incorporated into one of his mass settings the melody of a decidedly secular song. Western wind, when wilt thou blow? The small rain down can rain. Christ, if my love were in my arms and I in my bed again. Hardly what you'd call spiritual material, but in fact, the practice of using an existing popular melody for the cantus firmus or theme of a mass was already well established on the continent, and Christopher Tye was one of three English church composers to make use of the Western Wind ballad tune. His so-called Western Wind Mass probably dates from the second half of Henry VIII's reign. Here's the Credo section.
Thank you.
The Tallis Scholars, directed by Peter Phillips, with the credo from Christopher Tye's Western Wind Mass, written around the mid-1500s. During the 17th and 18th centuries, Europe experienced two abnormally cold spells. In London, the Thames froze over on several occasions, enabling citizens to enjoy their famous frost fairs. Eyewitnesses describe puppet theatres being erected on the ice, horse races and hog roasts, a bacchanalian carnival, as John Evelyn put it. Perhaps it was all this that inspired Henry Purcell, who lived just beside the river in Westminster, to include a shivering musical depiction of winter chill in his semi-opera King Arthur. It comes in Act Three, when Cupid awakens the cold genius, the spirit of winter, who would prefer to just go back to bed. What power art thou, who from below hast made me rise unwillingly and slow from beds of everlasting snow? I can scarcely move or draw my breath. Let me freeze again to death. But before we hear it, let's return to Shakespeare for a moment and the song that concludes Twelfth Night, a sad philosophical comment on life, sung, of course, by the Fool.
When that I was and a little tiny boy with a hair of the wind and the rain, a foolish thing was but a toy for the rain. It raineth every day. With a hey-ho, the wind and the rain, for the rain it raineth every day. But when I came to man's estate, with a hey-ho, the wind and the rain, gainst knave and thief men shut their gate, for the rain it raineth every day. With a hey-ho, the wind rain, and the rain it raineth every day. But when I came alas to wife, with a hey-ho, the wind and the rain, by swaggering I could never thrive, for the rain it raineth every day. With a hey-ho, the wind and the rain, and the rain it raineth every day. Long, long ago the world began, with a hey-ho, the wind and the rain. But that's all while our play is done, and we'll strive to please you every day. With a hey-ho, the wind and the rain, for the rain it raineth every
oh. to death. Let me, let me, let me free the dead to death.
What power art thou? The so-called cold song from Purcell's semi-opera King Arthur, given in London in 1691. Andreas Scholl with Accademia Byzantina, conducted by Stefano Montanari. And before that, we heard Alfred Deller as Feste from Twelfth Night with Hey Ho, the Wind and the Rain. I'm Lucy Skeeping, and you're listening to the Early Music Show here on Radio 3, where we're exploring some of the different ways that extreme weather has been portrayed in early music. Well, when it comes to thunder, we need look no further than Telemann's Donneroder, first given in his hometown of Hamburg in March 1756. It was one of his biggest public successes, his heartfelt response to the shocking earthquake that had devastated the Portuguese capital of Lisbon just a few months earlier. More than 60,000 people were killed. Hamburg sent two ships with aid supplies to Lisbon, and the council ordered a special day of prayer, which included the performance of Telemann's work. It's a powerful cantata, which he later expanded into a full-length oratorio, and as you might expect, trumpets and timpani play an all-important role. The voice of God rocks the oceans. It flattens the cedars. It makes the proud mountains collapse. The whole world sees it and is amazed.
Thank you.
Wie ist dein Name so groß? The opening chorus from Telemann's Donnerrode, performed by Rheinischer Kantorei, conducted by Hermann Max. So to France again now, and part of Jean Ferry Rebelle's graphic representation of earth, fire, air and water, entitled Les Éléments. A student of Lully, Rebelle started out playing in Paris's Royal Opera Orchestra in the early 1700s, where on stage, fantastic representations of earthquakes, battles, storms, floods and magic would regularly take the audience's breath away. And this must have equipped him well for a piece like Les Éléments. The introduction is chaos itself, Rebelle himself described it. The confusion that reigned among the elements before the order of nature. Musica Antiqua Köln, directed by Reinhard Goebel, with Chaos from Jean Ferry Rebel's extraordinarily contemporary-sounding Les Éléments of 1737. Beneath the blazing sun's relentless heat, men and flocks swelter, pine trees are scorched. We hear the cuckoo's voice, then sweet songs of the turtle, dove and finch. Soft breezes stir the air. I know life was hard in the 18th century, but I can't help feeling a little envious of Vivaldi's Languishing Shepherds. Here's Summer from the Four Seasons.
Thank you.
the first movement of Summer from Vivaldi's Four Seasons. The soloist there was Nicola Benedetti with a Scottish chamber orchestra conducted by Christian Kernan. Of course, the music we've been hearing today belongs to a world long gone, when man had yet to develop the modern technology that we now find has altered the atmosphere and the weather, disconnecting our vital relationship with the natural world. It's something that must concern us all, I guess. But for now, let's end today's show with a bit of a success story. I talked earlier about the devastating Lisbon earthquake, which killed a quarter of the city's population. It destroyed the city's library too, so that a huge amount of music from that period was lost. But this final piece is one of the survivors, part of an extraordinarily grand 20-part setting of the Te Deum, written for a New Year's Eve performance in 1734 at the Italian church in Lisbon. The composer is Antonio Teixeira, a native Portuguese who around 1717 was sent off to study in Rome, part of a dedicated process of Romanization of Portuguese culture embarked upon by Lisbon's Chapel Royal in order to promote the highest standards. This lavish piece calls for 8 soloists, 5 choirs and a large orchestra. It bubbles and sparkles with a charm that's distinctively Portuguese, and it gives us a rare insight into musical life in Lisbon before the earthquake. Here are the 16, directed by Harry Christophers, Tibi Umbes Angeli.
Music from the Te Deum by Antonio Teixeira, performed by the 16, conducted by Harry Christophers. And that brings to an end today's Early Music Show. The programme was presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced in Salford by Ruth Thompson. It's available to listen to in full on BBC Sounds.
Bonjour, listeners of the BBC. I'm Clément Rochefort, presenter at the radio station France Musique. We are Radio 3's French musical cousin, and we are embarking on an exchange trip with BBC Radio 3. It's a cross-channel cultural collaboration of music and musicians with live performances coming from Théâtre de l'Alliance, Paris, and then your very own BBC Radio Theatre. Two programmes of live music from brilliant young French and British performers, presented by me, Clément Rochefort, and Katie Derham. In tune, live with France Musique, hear them both now on BBC Sounds.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's a minute after three and time for Choral Vespers, which today is an archive recording of a service first broadcast from Westminster Cathedral in 2013 on the feast of Blessed John Henry Newman. Newman was a 19th century English cardinal who this very morning in Rome was declared a saint by Pope Francis. The Magnificat is by Charles Villiers Stanford, his setting in B-flat for double chorus, and one of the three motets in the service is also by Stanford, Justorum Animae, a setting of words from the Book of Wisdom, the souls of the righteous are in the hand of God. The service includes two motets by Francis Poulenc, the Marian antiphon Salve Regina, Hail Queen, Mother of Mercy, is sung towards the end of the service, and the introit is Tout Puissant, Tressant, a translation of a prayer of praise attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, addressed to the Almighty, Most Holy, Most High and Sovereign God.